Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
This is from November 15, 2004.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah, the Giants were 5-4.
Okay.
They were 5-4, but they had lost 3 of 4. All right. Okay. So they were still a winning team, but they were 4-1 to start. They were
9 weeks into the year.
Yep. Yep. Quote, "He is the future of the New York Giants. It just starts now," Coughlin said of Manning. "I really felt the last 4 games we haven't been playing well offensively. And we just needed to make a change." There you go. At least he admitted the obvious.
An answer.
That the it's an answer.
From a real head coach. There's a real reason why he made the decision. And he gave you that. And that's not an easy decision to make, to your point, where you know it's going to upset some of the locker room. Tiki was there, so he would know.
Yeah.
5-4. But think about that. It was a decision that was made by a veteran head coach, even pre-Super Bowl winning, I'm just saying, like a veteran head coach had some success in Jacksonville prior to arriving.
No question.
No-nonsense guy, his way or the highway. A team that was 5-4, but he knew they had another level to them, potentially with Eli Manning. Also, a guy who waited 9 weeks, or whatever, you know, after 9 games. It wasn't 2 weeks in where it reeked of a panic button or a complete change in direction.
But they weren't winless, so it's a little different. Like, if they were 0-4, I don't know, does he do it in week 5?
But he didn't. I'm just saying that he didn't do it. Like, my point is that they waited until 9 weeks in, and even at 5-4, you could still make the argument, well, they're winning 5-4, why upset the apple cart now? He gave you the answer. We haven't been playing as well as I think that we could be playing. And he's the future. Like, that's a simple. Dable should have just plagiarized Tom Coughlin from 20 years ago.
Copy some other stuff, too. Not just the quotes.
I mean, really. It just, now people say, Sal, why are you getting so mad at this? Why are you guys getting.
You're getting worked up, even more than me.
Because those type of things is what leads to a bad decision-making process, which leads to prolonged losing, which is exactly what we've seen from the Giants.
Well said. You know what it really leads to, just to add to that? It leads to instability.
Right.
And the inability to really believe in the direction and the future of the team.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, when you don't have a true leader, and this is not me trying to cut Dable down. It's hard to lead when you really don't win. I get that. And he did lead right away in year one. That first game against Tennessee, he was exuding leadership when he just sliced up Daniel Jones for that ridiculous pass to Saquon in Tennessee. Right? And then he went for it. He's like, oh, this guy is a leader. We love this guy. And then he kind of changed. So I get it. Just like, you know, a guy who's hitting 209, it's hard to step up in front of 25 guys in a locker room and say, yo, why aren't we playing well? Because everybody can say, well, because you're hitting 209. Maybe if you woke up, we'd be playing better. So leadership, it can't be convenient. It's got to be authentic, but generally is more effective when it's coming from somewhat of a place of success. So I admit that it's hard for Dable to exude great leadership now because they're terrible, and they've been terrible for a long time, but he's got to be better than he was earlier.
Okay, and then regardless of what Dable says, right, some people could think it's a big deal, some people couldn't. What do you think went into this decision? Meaning, was
I'm confused, man. I'm confused.
But the fact that we don't even, like, I could say ownership, I could say Shane, I could say Dable.
Can I tell you what should have gone into it? The head coach says, this is the best move for the team. This is the young man that I wanted to draft. I can do some stuff with him I can't do with Russ. He'll make us better.
Well, that's
what should happen.
That's my point. So it's not just about what he's saying or what he won't say. It's about the whole process and how we got here just 3 weeks in. And then on top of it, him not answering a very simple question as to why did you decide to make this move right now. That's where I just don't have any faith that the decision makers at the Giants know what they're doing. nor will they come out of it. And the idea that Jackson Dart's going to be some savior to me is also faulty logic. We just talked about it with Baldy yesterday. We've given you an example. C.J. Stroud, Daniel Jones are two that come to mind recently where it's not just about the quarterback. What the hell happened to C.J. Stroud after year one? Well, it's the pieces around him that aren't in place, which is why they have struggled and he has struggled. What the hell happened to Daniel Jones? How come he could go there in 3 weeks
opposite.
Looks like the MVP of the league?
Yeah.
But, well, because the pieces around him are better. Well, okay, well, the pieces around the Giants, they're still in the process of being built. I don't see a great defense, do you? I don't see a great offensive line, do you? I don't see a great run game, do you? So we're putting now Jackson Dart in a similar, maybe a little bit better than Daniel Jones, but a similar position to the one that Daniel Jones was in that he couldn't succeed in.
Oh, my God.
So why do we think it's going to be different? I hope it's different. I just would. I wouldn't bank on it. But we've got several weeks to find out here. At the very least, several weeks to find out with Dart at the helm. Or Dart starting with Dable at
the helm. You think he gets the whole run? Now, one thing.
Yeah, he said that.
I know, but I want to just say real quick with you. I know what he said. Let's see if we believe it. For those of you who missed it, and we played it, and if you guys missed the Free Odyssey app, go back, check it out, our reaction. You'll actually hear from Dable as well. He said he's the guy for the rest of the year. We buying that?
I am. I don't think you can make this decision.
What if he's a disaster? You got to pull him and save him.
And do what? Save him from what? If he's
from himself, from being ruined like Carr with the Texans when he got sacked 73 times.
To me,
that was never the same guy.
To me, there is no saving. Once you make this decision, that's it.
I don't want to hear that. That's worse. That's worse than putting him in too early. Like, if you put somebody in too early, at least there's a checkpoint of, all right, maybe it's too early. Dort or anybody. Maybe it's too early, but all right, let's get him out before he's ruined. The worst thing to do is put him in too early and leave him there if he's getting his brains beat
in. No, you got to leave him there and let him figure out a way out of it.
That's the worst thing you could do.
I think
you could ruin the kid.
But that's why I wouldn't start him early. I'd make sure. And then once you do hand it over to him, it's got to be his job. He's got to deal with the adversity, the good and bad, the struggles. He's got to respond for it. There's no way. Me, personally, you would run your team differently, obviously. I would never make the decision to start him and then pull him however many weeks it may be, as bad as it got.
Yeah, just to be clear, I'm not saying that I would definitely pull him if he gets a little bumpy. I'd have to react to the situation, and every situation's different. Like, if he's just making a few bad reads because he's a rookie quarterback, that's one thing. If he is getting popped, you know, 7-8 times a week, and now he's not even able to go through progressions, then it's stunting his development as a quarterback. That's something different. So I'm not even saying that I definitely would pull him. All I'm saying is the possibility that I might has to exist.
The BT and Sal Show on the Fan is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Mets. Andrew calling from Westchester. What's up, Andrew?
Yeah, a couple of things. First of all, Sal, just to push back, there wasn't a mistake assigning Wilson. They did that before the draft. They had no idea whether they were going to be able to sign, you know, draft a decent quarterback. So they couldn't go into the season with Tommy DeVito. So they hedged themselves.
Well, they had Jameis Winston.
Yeah, no. They've got Winston and Russell Wilson for $15 million total. That's basically saying, okay, we're going to hedge our bets. That's sort of plan B and C. Let's go into it and then see if we can draft our future quarterback. Mm-hmm. Wait, that's number one. But the other thing is, I think he is showing, you guys are putting way too much value on a press conference. I think he is showing leadership by pivoting. He might have gone into this with a plan that Russell Wilson was going to be the quarterback. The preseason looked good. Practices look good. He's now 0-3. He's got to do something. I respect it.
Yeah, but Anthony, can I
throw? To judge it, my last thing, and then I'll let you guys know.
The last thing is,
all I want to say is, I don't know if we're going to actually be winning, but the play calling better be different. He talked about the athleticism of this kid. I want to see different kind of play calls. If he's just going to be handing the ball off like Russell Wilson, dinking, dunking, it's not going to work. Then we're in real trouble.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Russ has thrown some balls down the field. And I think I called you Anthony. Thanks for the call there, Andrew. My fault. It's Andrew. So, yeah, I mean, I think you laid out their plan with Winston and Russ. I think you're probably pretty right. I mean, it was a minuscule financial investment, and they didn't know if they could draft Dart. I got that. We got that. But what you can't do, you're saying he's showing great leadership by making the move now. Only if it's for the right reason. If it's at the detriment of the kid, and it could be. It's not definitely, because we don't know yet, but we got to talk about this before it happens. If it's to the detriment of Dart, well, then it's for a selfish reason, and that's the wrong reason. That's an unacceptable reason.
And there's no way anybody can convince me that 3 weeks would change thinking that a quarterback is ready or not. So
I agree.
If your logic is, and this is Andrew's logic, is that, well, they signed Russell Wilson and Jameis before they knew they could get Dart. Okay, great. But then they had a whole training camp, like a whole offseason, all that after they drafted Dart to see what he could do. And in preseason, if you see what Jackson Dart could do and you're thinking, you know what, he's best for our offense right out of the gate than Russell Wilson. I know we signed Russ. I know we started to sign Jameis. I think this guy's got the goods to a point where you make him QB2. So you obviously saw something that made you think about it. Then why did you wait till week 4? Like, then Russell Wilson shouldn't have been the starting quarterback. Or at the very least, you could have gone week 2 and said, well, after week 1, which wasn't very good, we're going to go with Jackson Dart now. Boldy said it. So if Boldy could say it week 2, then Brian Daboll could have done that. There were no guarantees, at least that we know, that Russell Wilson had to start X amount of games. So why then wait? It's not just about, well, they signed Russell Wilson and that was their plan. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe their plan was, in fact, to go to Jackson Dart. But then what'd they wait for? This season's now over at 0-3. So if it was really about Jackson Dart being the best player for the team, giving them a chance to win, then he should have started sooner.
I'm with you on this. I get it.
In 3 weeks from thinking Russell Wilson's a guy for 3 straight weeks, and now all of a sudden he's not.
It's too abrupt.
Yeah. Bingo.
Which tells me that the motivation behind this is something that should worry us.
Right.
I'm with you.
I hope he's great. And I do believe, I believe he's going to be better and more consistent offensively at the very least. The RPO is going to work, at least going up against Harbaugh. I don't know if that's the first challenge that you want a coach who's going to run circles around anybody, especially Brian Daboll with the X's and O's and stopping the RPO. Like, Harbaugh will be able to do it probably better than most. But that is going to be effective, much more effective than what we saw with Daniel Jones, even when it was at his peak here, and certainly more than Russell Wilson. To what extent are they going to win games? I mean, look at their schedule coming up. Yeah, okay, maybe they play well against the Chargers, and then they'll beat the Saints. But then what? Two with the Eagles and the Broncos? Like, I'm not so sure that even if it looks a little bit better, that the results are going to be there anyway.
I think it's going to look better. To me, it's almost like you have a baseball offense that doesn't generate a ton of runs, so you got to do some stuff, whether it's, you know, running or hitting and run, whatever it might be. Whereas with this Giants offense, even though Neighbors is amazing, like, they're just conventionally, I mean, 2 of the 3 games, they couldn't generate any points. It had to be Dallas' defense that allowed them to do that. I think that this is an unconventional way of generating some more offense with the RPOs, right, with the legs. So I do think he's going to look fairly settled fairly soon, but he better. I'll also say it.
By the way, I guess in my mind, like, they either made the decision too soon or too late.
I wouldn't say too late.
Too soon in that they are hurting Dart's future, potentially.
Yeah.
Too late in that they've ruined the season. And if you're going to go to him week 4, why do you go to him week 2 or start the year with him? Like, there was no sitting and learning for Jackson Dart. 3 weeks is not nearly enough. So you're either throwing him to the wolves right out of the gate and saying he's our best option, we're going to let him learn and take the lumps. If you're going to do that, do it from week 1. Don't do it 3 weeks into the season. Like, that's ridiculous.
If Andy Reid did this, if Kyle Shanahan did this, if Harbaugh did this, if, you know, either Harbaugh, you know, if they did that, I'd be like, okay, here we go. But it's just, it's hard to believe the Giants are going to get this right. I hope they do. They might. But it's just hard. It's blind faith at this point, out of desperation. That's where we're at.
BT and Sal, and hoping that talent can overcome all the other areas of deficiency, Jackson Dart's talent specifically. BT and Sal on the Fan, will continue with your calls, 888-808-1019. We should have Pat Leonard on as well, who's out there covering the Brian Daboll presser. Maybe we'll get some more insight from Pat on this stuff as to what went into this decision here.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Boomer
and Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Steve is calling from Long Island about his Giants. What's up, Steve?
Boys, you cannot trust, as a fan, you just cannot trust the Giants' leadership. Jackson Dart is hopefully the future. I love the idea of Russell Wilson and Jameis in there. so this kid could learn from those veterans. This reeks of desperation. The chances of this kid being successful after 3 weeks is so low. Why not let Russell Wilson? He looked great against Dallas. I know he looked awful last week, but we could have played Russell Wilson a few more weeks. Give Jackson Dart a little more time, and then if we're 0-4, 0-5, 1-4, get him in maybe in a second half like they were doing, giving him some sets. But to do it after week three, it just looks awful.
No, but Steve, you know why they're doing it, right? They're embarrassed.
It's to save Dabo's job.
They're desperate.
That's the owner's job to say, we're not doing this to save your job.
Yeah.
It can't just be, it can't be that. Somebody above has to be like, that's not the plan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe somebody above wanted this though, Steve, so we don't know, and thank you for the call. We don't know what's gone into it, but if you use common sense, you would say that it's a lot of different things. The least of which to me would be Brian Daboll making this decision on his own. I don't believe there's any way, and I could be wrong, I don't know. I don't believe there's any way that Brian Daboll made this decision on his own. Like, you're telling me Mara has nothing to do with this? The fans
or
booing.
Shane.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Shane.
To an extent.
The fans booing,
yep.
Getting restless, wanting to see Jackson Dart. Like,
mm-hmm.
It got ugly Sunday night at MetLife in the home opener. They're 0-3 again.
Dude, they're two more weeks away from the planes flying over MetLife again with the banners and the signs. So,
but now they're not.
That's where I'm going. This is a preemptive measure to get back a little equity within the fan base and basically shut everybody up for a little bit.
Right. And the hope is that it works, which, by the way, it could.
Yes, it could. I think he's going to be pretty good.
He could go out there and be a stud,
mm-hmm.
and change the entire narrative. Season back on. You beat the Chargers. You go beat the Saints. 2-3. Season back on. Now we got some games to get into.
Yeah.
That is possible. It's unlikely based on what, like, if you're making that decision, look, there are different philosophies. You could put somebody out there, go, hopefully he has some success, whatever it may be. For me, I would want to build the foundation before doing this. I've seen it fail too many times. The other way, where there isn't a foundation, especially in this town, you get a lame duck head coach. Like, that's a fact. Brian Daboll is a lame duck head coach who has to prove himself with a rookie quarterback after already starting 0-3 with a more talented roster. He's already behind it. 0-3 to start, where many people didn't think that they were going to be 0-3. Probably none more important than Mr. Mara himself, who was probably surprised at 0-3. So he's already behind it. So now a lame duck head coach is trying to... Not that this move is just trying to save his job, but that's what's happening here. Trying to prove his worth, saving his job with a rookie quarterback already with a team that has struggled multiple ways this year through three games. How does that seem like a recipe for success long term? Other than relying on Jackson Dart's confidence, cockiness, arrogance, attitude, whatever you want to say, and ability,
mm-hmm.
It's not. And Daboll said it himself today, BT, the one thing he did say, it's not about one player, it's about the team. Well, your team stinks.
Have you ever seen those Instagram videos where it's a parental method that, I mean, I don't agree with, but I also haven't looked too much into it, where people will take their newborn, and I mean like 3, 4, 5 months old, and they'll just dump them in a pool.
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
At least they figured out how to swim. Now, of course, they'll save right. the baby if they have to.
Right.
But the thought is that, you know, even at that young age, the baby is more equipped to handle with that adversity than you would think. And that they figure it out and you accelerate their ability to be comfortable mm-hmm. in a pool. I see. It doesn't apply here with a quarterback who's not ready, if he's not ready. And I don't know, but if. Because nobody's jumping on the field to save him like a parent's jumping into the pool to save the kid. So that's why this is dangerous. And... again, we don't know how it's going to go, and we could be sitting here in 2 weeks saying it's the change of the Giants, the entire trajectory is here, and it's different. But we could also be sitting here saying we were right, it seemed way too early, and look at where we are now. And that's a danger, that's a risk I wouldn't take, not yet.
And by the way, like I wouldn't have recommended it. But at least if they said Jackson Dart is going to be our starting quarterback from week one on, at least I could get behind it and say, okay, this is your clear plan. I have no expectations for what's going to happen in season as far as win losses go. I just want to see what Daboll and Dart can do together and what this offense is going to look like. But that it wasn't their plan because that did not happen. And now I think the expectations have changed. where I don't think this is just about evaluating what Dable and Dart can do together. That's a part of it for Dable's job, which it shouldn't be. But there's also a part of that this guy's going to be the savior and change the entire energy around the fan base, which has already happened. And there is legitimate excitement, but that could quickly dissipate with another poor effort on Sunday. All of a sudden, he throws a couple of interceptions, which you have to expect. Like, at some point, he's going to hit the rookie wall. But I don't know if everybody's bracing for that. Like, are we prepared for that? And if that does happen, then what? Then Dable's fired, and then you have a new head coach taking over Dart, and then we're in the same mess again. So at least it's not just about going to a rookie too soon, in my mind. It's about going away from their original thought process so quickly.
Yeah.
That's my biggest issue.
Yeah, well, maybe this is the way to answer it a little bit here. So let's take away, like, the top two or three quarterbacks and the most. So forget about Josh Allen. Forget about Mahomes. Forget about a healthy Joe Burrow. Maybe one of Lamar. Forget about those guys. Like, go down to the next tier. You know, and we know who those players are. That tier, tier two. If the Giants had that kind of quarterback play, would the Giants be a lock to be a playoff team?
I mean, in theory, they should be, but probably not.
Yeah, I ask that because I'm kind of leaning with probably not as well, because I think there's too many other holes on the roster, I ask the question because that's a good way to answer or get a sense of, are they throwing him in too early? And are there many other problems on the team? And there are. Now, good quarterback play can mask some. It can't mask everything. Hopefully he's up for it. I think he's going to make some splash plays in week one. I do. And I do think that they'll coach around his youth, but this is, you know, it should not, it's September, he shouldn't be playing yet.
You think Dart's going to be as good as Daniel Jones is right now? I mean, think about that. Not that we need to go into a long-winded thing here. I say that in somewhat jest, but...
No, I know, but it's my hope that he's better down the road. More dynamic, throwing the ball downfield, more of a leader, a little bit different.
And if Daniel...
But right now, I don't think
Jones were here right now, do you think the Giants would be 3-0?
I don't. I don't think so. Do you?
No. BT's out.
Hop is feverishly saying go to break.
Well, yeah, I asked break four times to everybody.
Well, just being honest.
Yeah. If you're going to blow me up a spot like that, I'm going to go back.
No, you told me in my ear break, but I wanted to finish my thought.
I told you to break.
You said to break literally a minute and a half ago.
Two minutes ago.
I finished my thought. All right, Pat. When we come back, we'll take a break here. When we come back, Pat Leonard of the Daily News should join us. 888-808-1019.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day brought to you by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. And we have a live Call of the Day BT, Pat Leonard, who covers the Giants for the New York Daily News, also hosts a podcast, Talkin' Ball with Pat Leonard. Check it out on YouTube, TikTok, IG, and all that. He joins us today to talk some Big Blue and specifically Jackson Dart. Pat, you were on with us back at the Javits Center for Fanatics Fest, and we're talking about Jackson Dart. You said this could be the case that maybe we'd see him sooner than later. Did Dable give an answer on why he made this change ahead of their Week 4 matchup?
He would not. He just said it was his decision, Sal. And thanks for having me on, guys. He said that even if this was a conversation with ownership and the GM and acknowledged that there might have been, you know, differences of opinion of whether this was the right time to do it, he said that it's his call and that everyone is putting their trust in his decision that Jackson Dart is the right person for the job. He did not say anything about Russell Wilson's play. He did not say anything about what Jackson Dart's talents can do to change up what the offense will look like. But he does believe this is the right time for it to happen. He was asked about his job security and whether it was related to that. He said, no, it's just related to essentially giving the team the best chance to win. So
We know, though, that he's been trying to get this kid on the field ASAP, and now it's happening here in week four.
It just feels abrupt here, Pat. I mean, what we were saying, and trying to flush through a lot of different things here, if he's ready, you know, after three games to come in and try to save everybody's job and save the season, then why wasn't he deemed at least worthy enough to compete for the job? Because Russ was anointed the starter right away. So it seems like a bit of a contradiction. What do you make of that?
That's a great point. Yeah, well, I think the general manager... as well, when they signed Russell Wilson, the general manager had a lot of confidence in Russell Wilson. And if you remember last year, Russell Wilson, they entertained signing him as an option, but you know, he wanted to be guaranteed an ability to start for them, and they couldn't give him that with Daniel Jones in the building, and so he went elsewhere to Pittsburgh. This year, it felt like a preordained decision and agreement that Wilson would be the guy. And so I think, you know, at this point, you have to question, you had Jameis Winston in the building, you have Jackson Dart in the building. If you're truly trying to do the best thing for the team, why not make it a competition? Because now it looks absolutely ridiculous to preordain a guy to starter and not let anybody compete for the job. And then on the back end, bench him after three games, including one where he threw for 450 and three TDs. I think what it reflects is a disagreement and difference of opinion between the front office and ownership and the coach. I think the coach has wanted to play the rookie from the beginning. And I believe that that's why he said after the Washington game that he wasn't going to commit to Russell Wilson right away. We all heard the report 10 days ago that the Giants weren't in any rush to bench Russell Wilson and put Jackson Dart in. Dable was asked about that report today. And he said, I've only had conversations with the players. So the long answer down to a short one for you is, I think there's an internal tug of war here over what the best thing to do at the quarterback position was. And now that Dable is on the hot seat at 0-3, desperately needs a win, he's now deciding, all right, now it's my turn to go to my guy, and this is what I'm going to ride or die with.
So you think there's a divide here, Pat? Forget about ownership for a second. Let's leave them out of it. Are Shane and Dable on the same page currently?
I don't think they were at the start of the season. They were definitely in lockstep about making Russ the starter for the first day, because as much as Dable gave Jackson Dart a ton of reps as the number two throughout training camp behind Russell, so that was indicating, okay, Russell's taking all the snaps with Malik Nabers, all the snaps with Darius Slayton, all the snaps with the starting offense. So you knew if the coach really wanted to give Jackson a chance to start, he would have them splitting those reps, right? So they were in lockstep to, okay, we're going into Washington. Russell's our guy. And remember, that was also not just because of him as a player. They also were treating him as their North Star as far as a motivator. They felt like they lacked leadership, which they did in previous seasons. So they were following Wilson as much as someone who could get the team in the right direction as anything else. But the second that the offense and the team looked the exact same in week one in Washington as they did last season, it became very clear to me that Dable was going to take the first opportunity of that window cracking open to make clear that he was on the side of let's get Jackson ready. And that's where I think the divide was. I think the divide was, okay, yeah, we both believe in Jackson. We were both involved in trading up and drafting Jackson. But the divide is how quickly do we put him in? And Dable is on the side of Dart gives us the best chance to win.
Yeah. So the situation basically at the goal line inside the five the other night was just so egregiously bad. I don't know how you look 52 other guys in the eyes and say this quarterback's giving us the best chance to win. So I have no problem sending Russ to the bench. Was Jameis a consideration for a week or two?
No, does not appear that way. And I think, so Jameis is a weird case here because when they signed him, they didn't know how the first round of the draft was going to go. So there was a chance that they weren't going to land their guy, and they were coming into this season with Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston.
Yep.
And Jameis could be their backup. But once they drafted Dart, very clearly from the top down of this organization, they decided Winston was not going to see the field unless, you know, there were injuries or it became absolutely necessary. What's interesting about that is, what's the reason for that? The reason is because he turns the ball over a lot. But Russell Wilson's out here turning the ball over left and right. You know, as great of a game as he had in Dallas, his interception lost them that game along with the defense. And then he throws two picks in the first half against the Chiefs that undo their ability to win that game. So that's part of the reason why I felt Jameis should have had a chance the whole time. And I will say this, and I'm sure this is something that you guys have been talking about today too. If Jameis had played against the Chiefs, as much as Steve Spagnuolo had a good game plan, we all know Jameis would have gotten the ball to Malik Nabers early and often, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jackson Dart would have done that. How in the world their offensive scheme and Wilson were not able to find a way to get the ball in number one's hands?
Well, is that more on Russ or Day or the play design? Was he just not throwing it, or was he not? You know what's why?
Both. I think the primary culprit, honestly, I think was the game plan and the offensive scheme. And you had Malik running go routes and hitches against two deep zone, when really what you need to do is run jet sweeps and crossers and get him into windows of the defense and things of that nature, right? Even you saw that slant route they ran to Darius Slayton, that it was an ankle tackle away from maybe him taking it to the house. And then we barely saw a slant route again the rest of the game. You know, the part of it that was on Russell is that once the game plan is not putting you at an advantage, as a veteran quarterback, if there's any reason, BT and Sal, why you have Russell Wilson as your starter and you handing him this job, is because you want him to dip into that vault of experience to help you adjust on the fly, to check to the right plays. And granted, he was checking to runs early because there were two deep safeties and there's a lighter box and you're trying to run the ball. But that's also on the quarterback there to find ways to go back to the sideline and say, we're not going to score points if we don't unlock number one. As well as the fact that we all know that if Malik doesn't punch the ball early, he disengages, he gets frustrated. And so that's just short-sightedness combined with poor scheme, combined with a quarterback who just wasn't able to deliver on the type of experience he's supposed to have.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We're talking with Daily News, a beat writer for the New York Giants, Pat Leonard. A couple quickies here, Pat. We're running out of time. Who's calling the plays here moving forward? Dave, we're going to take that over now with Jackson Dart at the reins?
No, he was asked that. He said he still believes in Mike Kafka, so Kafka will continue calling the plays.
And who's QB2 here? Is it clearly Russell Wilson, so Jameis is nowhere in the picture, and Russell's going to be okay being the backup?
It's Russell Wilson for now. Wilson's actually going to talk today. I've heard that he's handling it well, as well as someone could. Obviously, he always tries to be positive. Wouldn't surprise me if down the pike here this season, they either trade him or he asks for his release at some point. Dable was asked if he's going to ask for his release or if that's in the picture. Didn't really answer the question, but we know that happened last year with Daniel Jones, and there's teams out there that need quarterbacks, so you could see that coming down the road, but it's not in the immediate future.
Pat, the only thing for me left here, and you know, it's a guess on your part, but I'm curious what the answer will be here. Let's just say that he looks overwhelmed early, and I don't know that he will, but just say that he does, and it doesn't look good, and it doesn't look or feel or smell right. Dable said he's basically committing to him for the rest of the year, which to me is ridiculous to marry to that concept before you've seen him take a live bullet here. So, I mean, that mm-hmm. would have to be adaptable, that plan, right? If it gets to that point?
That's a great question. I think, well, if let's say Dart shows some promise, but he looks overwhelmed, they lose to the Chargers, you're going down to New Orleans in week 5. If you lose that game, we're not going to have a rest of the season to talk about for Brian Dable. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. They need a result here for any of that to add up, I think. Now, if Dart needs to protect himself, he's a runner, but he's tough. He likes to lower his shoulder, similar to Daniel Jones used to do. He's got to protect himself, stay on the field. But I think the message to Dable here internally, as they discussed it, deliberated their disagreements, is like, if we're doing this, we're doing it. There's no half measure here. Mm. We're not going to Jackson and then ruining him and then going back to Russell. For me, failing to get a result and putting Jackson on the field when it's obvious it's too early, from what we see on Sunday, that's just a recipe for accelerating your firing.
Real quick, Pat, one-word answer here, or maybe a little bit more than one-word answer. Do you think that we could see at the end of the season Shane staying, Dable going?
Yes, it's possible. I do think they need results, though. 3-14 doesn't get that done. But yes, the organization has sold to us that they are a collaborative pairing for years. But now I view them as separate entities. That's how they came out of last season with kind of the blame game. And I definitely believe it's possible Shane stays and Dable goes.
Thank you, Pat. Great insight. Look forward to talking to you again down the line.
Thanks, dude.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Pat Leonard, NFL columnist, Giants beat writer for the New York Daily News, Talking Ball podcast, as well as some good insight there that helped clean up a little bit. I'll tell you this. I feel better about hearing what Pat had to say than I did listening to Dable, because Pat made it sound like, okay, there's a divide. This is Dable's call. If I'm rolling with anybody, I don't want ownership getting in the way. Mm-hmm. I don't want Shane getting in the way. If I'm the head coach, I want to make my decision. So from an outsider's point of view, I'd rather have the head coach make his decision. If he wanted this even sooner, then that's a knock on him. It should have been done sooner. But I'm okay with it if this is Dable's true decision and he believes Jackson Dart gives his team the best chance to win.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.